JAFNP.com presents The Most Interesting Podcaster in the World. He uses the F word so often, he had to tap into the nation's strategic reserve of profanity. When another podcast plays his promos, that podcast becomes 37% more interesting. His opinions are so brutally honest, filmmakers have filed restraining orders against them. He is the most interesting podcaster in the world. I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to my own at JAFMP.com. Stay cool, my bitches.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the Zombie Girls Podcast. Woo! With me tonight are my fabulous co-hosts, Summer.
What's up?
Ariel.
Hi.
Sarah.
Hello.
Who's on delay, apparently. All the way from the UK, Miss Explody Joe.
Hello.
And back for her second round of hot zombie girl action, Matilda.
Hi.
So I'm so excited. Okay, like I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but we have an awesome voicemail tonight. I'm very excited for all of you guys to hear. I finally heard it this morning, and as Summer and Ariel were walking in, I ignored them completely because I was so enthralled.
Yeah, she was just
with the fabulosity of our voicemail tonight. But anyway,
oh, was that the drunk mail I left?
Was that you?
Oh my god,
it sounded like. I don't know. It sounded like it was a call from the apocalypse. I felt like I was living in Prince of Darkness and I was getting messages from the future. But it sounded like you had a good fucking time.
Awesome.
All right, well, I can't wait to hear that later.
Awesome. Yep. Okay, so I guess we should start off by talking a little bit about what we have been watching. Unless there's any exciting news anybody has to share, and I'm skipping ahead.
Nope.
All right. Good to know. We're all so exciting. I looked over and it was just seriously, total, dirt,
I've blank. Done nothing for the last 2 weeks, so.
You've kept my couch in place.
Yes.
It could have been all over the house.
Yeah.
But you kept it firmly rooted in that corner right there. And I appreciate that.
In it.
Yeah, you see that? There's her right butt cheek and her left butt cheek.
I know. It misses me, though.
It does.
Gone for 2 days.
It does. I know. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what we've been watching. Ariel, what you been watching, girlfriend?
Okay, I haven't been watching that many horror movies lately, actually, unfortunately. But I did go to see Cowboys vs. Aliens.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Is it good?
They were, doing construction at the house next door to me, seriously jackhammering for, nine hours straight the day before. Then they started again at, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, fuck this, I'm spending the day at the movies. So I went and saw Cowboys vs. Aliens and Friends with Benefits, or whatever that one's called. Cowboys vs. Aliens was much better than the other one.
Yeah.
How was it? Was it good?
You know what? It was really entertaining. Really good special effects, and I thought all the acting was, pretty good, and, you've got nice, hot people in it. What I liked is, I don't think I've ever talked about this before, but I actually do watch a lot of Westerns.
Really?
Yeah, I know that probably doesn't seem like it meshes with my personality.
Not
that
at
much,
all.
I've never
played
you for a Western.
I figured you'd be this is so politically incorrect. White people who have been painted to look like Native Americans is totally unacceptable.
That's very true, actually. That's what's going through my mind every time I'm watching. I watch, a lot of John Wayne movies and stuff. And so, what was kind of cool is that they used a lot of the same, plots and sort of, normal Western movie tropes, but then it, had the aliens in it. So I thought that was really well done.
Awesome. Cool.
Now I have a question for you, Ariel. Saw two movies. Did you pay for two movies?
No.
Good.
Oh!
Okay, well, here's why, though. I went to see the first one as, a matinee, fucking in, 11 o'clock in the morning, and they charged me $14.
What?
So really, they get what they get.
Because, yeah. Not that it wasn't a 3D movie. It was in, some XD or some bullshit like that, so they got to charge me, three times as
Wait,
much.
Wait, what?
Yeah, right? It's HD, but they call it XD. That sounds they have, like one screen that does that in Walnut Creek, and they get to charge an arm and a leg for it. It
should be called RD for rip-off D.
That's yeah, bullshit. It's like, I wasn't seeing it at the Metreon or something. I wasn't expecting those kind of prices, so I was like, that's it. I'm going to see the other movie for free. Screw you bastards.
I know, right? Dude, I remember back in the day. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time, but, like, theater hopping.
Yeah, I haven't done that since I was, like, 13
or and I always felt like such a fucking rebel. But really what it means is you sit in the bathroom for 45 minutes while you wait for the next movie to start.
See, I never had that problem, because in high school, all my friends worked at the theaters. So it was just like,
that's nice.
Hey, man, going to see the next one.
I had a boyfriend that's who cool. worked at the movie theaters.
Oh.
I just had to bring some McDonald's and then I could watch all the movies I wanted.
Well, I should have done that. Yeah. Anyways, other than those two, I just finished Firefly, which, you know, isn't a horror movie, but I know everybody here loves that. Yeah. So awesome. I'd never seen it before because I'm the type of person who, when I know a show, like, I didn't watch it when it was on TV, and when I know a show, like, gets cut off before it was supposed to, right. It makes me not want to even start it.
And that one ends like, kind of in a way where you're
yeah, because, like, I know I'm going to fucking fall in love with it and then be hella disappointed when it, you know, goes away. Which is true, but it was good enough to make it worthwhile. I haven't watched Serenity yet, but,
I couldn't get into Firefly.
Get your Kleenex out for Serenity.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it so much. And it was getting so good, like, towards the
end. Yeah, it really, really was.
Yeah. So that was disappointing, but, so I watched that. I watched Surrogates the other night because it was on, like, On Demand or something. And it was really weird. I mean, it had that whole Uncanny Valley thing because, like, you've got Bruce Willis and, like, these other actors, but they have, you know, they've done CGI to make them look like dolls in their face, you know? And so it's bizarre because you see them when they're, like, at home in these weirdo chairs where they're all, like, hooked up so that they can use these robots to, you know, these surrogates to go around the world. And, like, they don't leave their houses. Nobody leaves their houses to do anything. They use surries for everything. So it's very strange that way.
Huh.
It was just, like, a little off-putting for me. I don't know. I just don't...
It seems like an excuse to give Bruce Willis a digital facelift.
Yeah, and hair.
Oh my god, his hair pieces have got to be the worst too. Like, there are good hair pieces out there, right? They exist. Why can't they slap one on his dome?
He's got like the Ted Danson level of hair piece.
I think he's kind of hit the wall, but like a couple years ago he was still hot.
I will always think he's hot.
Yeah, he's
awesome. I'm a Bruce Willis fan.
It's just he's starting to get that thing where it's like the Botox face that's kind of melting.
Oh,
a little
you know
bit.
What I mean, like it's still like all the same shape, it's just like lower. You know what I mean?
But I mean, what is he, like 60 now?
Hey, I'm not... I
still think he's hot.
I think he should... I like it when people age. I think age is sexy.
Age naturally.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
George Clooney.
I'm with you there.
Because they start to get the Uncanny Valley thing happening in real life. I think that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that does get a little... Oh, I know one horror movie that I actually did watch. I see it here on the list now. The Creature from the Black Lagoon movies. I haven't seen them since I was a kid. And I started watching them. And I thought that it was going to be one of those movies that, like, horribly disappoints you. Because, okay, there's, like, you know, Frankenstein and the Wolfman and the Invisible Man. And then, like, 20 steps below that is the Black, you know, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right.
So I wasn't expecting a lot out of it. But I actually thought they were pretty good and still, like, really entertaining old movies. Mm. Like, they're not... I don't think they're as cinematically, like, beautiful as Frankenstein. But they were still really fun.
Yeah, I've seen the first one. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, that's it for me.
All right, so who's next? Explodey Joe.
Me. Well, I haven't been watching a lot, really, horror-wise. I didn't want to have to be the first one to bring this up, but I saw the last Harry Potter movie. Did anybody else see that yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah? Okay, good. I thought it was pretty good. I've not been the hugest fan of the series, really, but it's always kept me interested enough to see what happens next. And I never read the books, so it was kind of cool to just finally see what happened. And I thought it was pretty good, I guess. It wasn't the bloodbath that everybody made it out to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's worse in the books because you're so, like, when you read the books, you get more attached. I don't know.
Because mm-hmm.
They killed off one of my favorite characters. So I was like, motherfucker. These are supposed to be children's books. Why am I crying?
I've never seen a Harry Potter movie.
Really? Oh my god. She's never seen Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings.
What?
Oh, she won't god. Watch them either. She what? Will refuses.
Even Lord of the Rings.
I've seen one Harry Potter movie.
Which one?
The one before Deathly Hallows, was it the Half-Blood Prince?
Probably. Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like mm-hmm. you can't come into the middle of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I was willing to.
It's weird, though, because the first two are pretty shit, and if you start watching them, you'll probably not want to carry on, but then by the third one, they get pretty good. So
mm-hmm. Right.
It's tricky. But anyway.
I tried reading the books once and kept falling asleep.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, they're not, like, I don't think they're that well written, really. I mean, she's very imaginative and everything. And kind
yeah,
of gets you,
I mean, that's
this is very honestly controversial. You hear this on Zombie Girls for the first time. J.K. Rowling, not a good writer.
That's the thing that about popular novels that kind of piss me off, because I feel like, I don't know, most of America doesn't really read that much. And then when a book comes along that's, like, really popular, everybody thinks it's
yeah,
so
I mean,
fucking amazing. Like, I remember when The Horse Whisperer came out, and everybody was like, oh my god, this is the most well-written book I've ever read. It's so descriptive and wonderful. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. Crap, it's just because you bitches haven't read anything for the yeah. past 20
like,
years.
It has words and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, the same thing happened with The Da Vinci Code. Everyone said, oh, yeah, it's so
exactly.
amazing. And,
exactly.
and it's not, I mean, it is really addictive, and it's written, I think it's very clever.
It's very
the way
fun,
it's written,
but it's not like a great novel. It's not The Brothers Karamazov. Get over yourself.
Wow. Right. I would counter that you need to get over yourself. My goodness. I like my fluffy novels. How dare yeah. you?
I do too, and that's what I'm saying. I've read them, but they're right. fun. They're not great literature, and people keep trying to act as though they are, and I just, they're not. But they're
yeah,
fun.
No, they're
I read
mean,
The Da Vinci Code and loved it. I thought it was fun.
All right, what else have I seen? I got a Hammer box set for my birthday
Ooh.
The other week. So
oh, that's
been,
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd never seen
Happy
any before.
Birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
yeah, I'm old. So I started the first one I watched was The Devil Rides Out, which was pretty good. I mean, it's hard for me to compare it to anything else because it's the first Hammer movie I've really seen.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was quite good. I didn't like the bit with the tarantula though. Ooh.
Ooh.
No, thank you.
Are you not a bug person? You like?
I'm okay with bugs in general, but not the eight-legged kind. Ooh,
gotcha.
No.
What is it about spiders that is so fucking disgusting?
Oh, I don't know.
They
don't
are just
to...
an ab. They are just an aberration. They're from the
yeah.
devil
because they bite you.
But it's okay. more than that. It's the way that they move. Like the other day, I was almost, you know, like when you're in that like that haze before wake, what you're like almost asleep, and then mm-hmm. shit will pop in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spider leg movements popped into my head, and I was like, okay, I gotta wake up. Okay, I can't like go to sleep like this because I was so just like sickened by it.
It's horrible. There's this indie game on Steam that looks quite interesting. It's called Limbo, and it looks really good. I watched
right.
the trailer, but then there's this big fucking spider in it, and I'm like, nope, not buying that.
It's really creepy. It is. I've played that
yeah,
game, which is amazing. Oh, but the spider
yeah.
is, and they just sort of like come out of nowhere, and they're like moving kind of like slow and stabby. Ugh. Gross.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I have like this weird fear that spiders are going to lay eggs in like my ears or underneath my skin and then they're going
to
pop
okay,
out.
Okay, I do have to go to bed in like 2 hours. I don't want to talk about spiders.
okay.
Seriously.
All right, no more spider talk.
Change the subject. Right.
So I take it there
Moving
will never be an arachnophobia.
On your recommendation,
episode.
Ladies, I started
yeah.
watching Game
I don't
of
know,
Friends.
I'm always like,
ooh.
Oh, and it's not as rapey as I was led to believe, but I'll, you know, whatever. I'll keep watching it anyway, I guess.
Wait, what is this?
Oh,
you see that, like, thing? I know.
No, I'm kidding. I'm only, like, 3 episodes in. It's pretty good. I'm liking it.
Good. But it just gets better and better.
I think you're past most of the rapey, then.
Oh,
I think
okay.
that most of the rapey's in the first two, right?
Right.
Yeah. There didn't seem to be much in the last episode.
Wait,
I saw.
What show are you talking about?
Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Game of Thrones,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. It's, yeah. I really like all the British people in it, and there seems to be a lot of people to keep track of and a lot of places and names to keep track of, so I'm just like, okay, what? So that's that guy's brother, and that's his wife, and that's okay, and those two are brother and sister, and they're having sex. Okay, fine. I'm starting to keep track of it.
Yeah, but, the last time I was over at Rachel's house, she had me watch the first episode. I really
mm-hmm.
liked it. I haven't been able to watch any of it since then. It was really good.
No.
It's very sad.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like it, so thank you for that recommendation.
Good.
And that's about it.
Awesome. So next up is Matilda.
Sure.
Okay. Let's see. So I don't know if this is a good time to talk about is what you've been reading. Does that count?
Sure.
It's funny that you've been talking about the kind of overhyped popular book because somehow I keep like a library book list and then when I go to the library I see what they've got and
mm-hmm.
take stuff out. And so I read most of The Passage by Justin Cronin. Have you guys heard about this book?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I burned out. I couldn't do it. Has anyone else read it?
No.
So do you know what it is? This is kind of the blockbuster of 2010, the kind of like post-apocalyptic novel of 2010. That's this long, long, long epic. Mm-hmm. Ripley Scott optioned the movie deal in 2007 before the book was even done.
Oh, damn. Wow.
And this is the first of three. And it was basically a guy that wanted to write this big book because his daughter had said, I want you to write a book where a girl saves the world. But well, that's a cool
It sounds great.
I know, right? So sounds good. I think that's probably, I probably read a review somewhere and that's how it made my list. I couldn't remember who recommended it or if I just read about it somewhere. The first 250 pages are fantastic and then it's just terrible.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yeah. So the first 250 pages are like really gripping characters that you care a lot about with a lot of development. And like an FBI experiment going on and the apocalypse happening and it's viral. And so it's this really cool premise. And then you suddenly leap 90 years into the future. And none of the same characters are there. And the characters that are there, you kind of don't care about. And he doesn't help you care about them. Mm. And so the middle of the book is like a very, very bad version of Margaret Atwood's The Year of the Flood, like the most recent Margaret Atwood novel, which I really love. Like, I love post-apocalyptic fiction. It's one of my favorite things.
But not but, a really yeah, bad take terrible. On it.
Right.
With it's just characters. Terrible. And then it becomes, then you figure out, this is the spoiler, then you figure out that it's a vampire novel. And I kind of...
And maybe, but of course. Know,
like, maybe it just speaks to the kind of market saturation that I just had burnout that I was like, like I wanted to throw it against the wall when I figured that out.
Right.
Because there's just so much vampire everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. I can understand that. Yeah.
It seemed a little cheap, like right now. And compare, I mean, at first it's like good Stephen King and then it becomes The Stand.
I was going to say that's exactly what happens with The Stand. It starts good and then you get into the like bomb, 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 bomb stuff and you're like, okay, I can't take 800 words of or 800 pages of this. No.
Yeah. And so I stopped and read a couple more reviews in depth and it said, yes, like The Stand, this is a religious book. And I was like, that's it. It's going back to the library.
Boo.
All right. So yeah. So I cannot really recommend it. I would maybe see the movie. The book is written like an action movie in the middle, which is part of what's unsatisfying about it. To me, that you know, you care less about the characters.
It's so disappointing when you like put so much. I don't know, when you read a book and you get really invested in it, and then it just lets you down so badly, you can't even finish it. That's such a bummer.
It feels cheap to me that they get you invested in the characters, and then they're like, "Peace." 90 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's 90 years later in this like colony / compound where they keep the lights on all night, but you don't care about anybody. At first, it's like an FBI agent and a 6-year-old girl, and you care deeply about both of them. And then it's just, this is not the book I picked up, and it went back to the library. I might make another run at it if somebody can tell me something different about it. But
yeah, I'm not sold on. As soon as you said the religion thing, I was like, oh crap. That's like when school, like in my indoctrination years, when they were like, there's these very exciting novels about the apocalypse you should read called Left Behind.
No,
and like your first book is great, and then you get to the next one, and they're like falling on their knees and calling out to Christ, and I was like. Slam back on the shelf.
That was at like 7 are those series or whatever.
Yes,
I remember that when I was in like high school. Everybody was reading those.
What'd you say?
Is there? There's like 50 of those Left Behind books too.
Really?
Because there's like 11 in the original Left Behind series.
11.
Then there's like Left Behind the Children, and then there's like Left Behind after Left Behind, and it's there's, and I think like each one of those series has like 8 or 9 books.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, there were a lot of like Christian people at my high school, and they all were reading that, trying to get me to read it. All my teachers and stuff, and
right. Well, you know, obviously,
is one of those called This Present Darkness?
Is Sounds like it could be.
I'm not sure.
There was someone gave me something in high school that I read, and I remember I got it was kind of compelling like that, and then I got into it, and I was like, oh no, because there were, it was like the battle for good and evil on Earth, and right. It was taking place at a college, and like the women's studies department was particularly evil. And like demons were sitting on girls' shoulders saying, like, say that your daddy molested you. Like, it was just terrible. Oh, it was so bad.
God, yeah. That sounds horrendous.
Feminist nightmare.
Right. It was. Don't get me started on that.
But... yeah, so that is my non-recommendation. For
That's a warning.
but it may be a recommendation for Year of the Flood, which did that better, the Margaret Atwood one. So if you like post-apocalyptic stuff, I would much rather go Margaret Atwood or even The Hunger Games while we were talking about young adult novels.
You know what?
I would go Hunger Games.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually going to say something about that because you were talking about popular fiction. Mm-hmm. I really loved the first two Hunger Games books, but did anybody else like hate the fucking ending of those books?
I actually haven't read them yet.
Uh-oh, yeah, who'd we lose?
Third one is weaker, I think.
The end of it was such a cop-out to me, and it was like she was front and center in the first two books, and in the third, she was just like this political tool that had absolutely no control over her life.
Yeah, except romantically.
Yes! Okay, I'm glad I'm not alone. I was so into the first two books, and then that third book, I was just like, what happened? What happened to my Katniss?
Are you excited about
the movie? Yeah, that is a good Girl Who Saves the World series.
I just, I mean, it's still, I mean, it's still okay. It's good to have a female hero in young adult fiction and blah, 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 blah. But I just, that was one where I was like, when we got to Mockingjay and it turned into Twilight, I was like,
yikes.
WTF. Yeah, because it becomes a love triangle in the end. It starts off, she's like this survivor girl killing off other children. I'm like, yeah, fucking sign me up. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. But then you get to the third book and it's like, who's she gonna pick? Her childhood friend or PETA? And I'm out.
I know, and I keep seeing the casting for the movies, which is deeply concerning in terms of...
right.
Like the hunkiness of everybody. Like, it's just the kind of deep Aryan hunkiness of everybody is pretty distressing.
I really like Jennifer What's-Her-Butt because I like, she was in that Appalachian movie that I loved so much.
Oh, right. She was in Winter's Bone. Yeah, she was great.
And they dyed her hair for this one.
So I could see her as Katniss a little bit, but the two dudes, I'm just like, oh, WB rejects. No, thank you.
I read an article about her preparing for the movie, too, and it sounded pretty badass. Like, all the
she's doing all kinds of archery and shit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I know it was between her and the girl who was in True Grit, like the remake of True Grit, and I was kind of rooting for her, but I think either one would be great.
Hmm. I haven't seen True Grit yet. I felt like
I haven't seen the remake. I have a very
tenuous relationship with the Coen brothers. I feel like they're very hit and miss, but it doesn't matter. If their name's on it, people are like, it's fucking genius! I'm like, if you say so. All right, so do you have any other recommendations, my dear?
No, that was my main one. That was my main one. Stay away or proceed with caution. I think it's maybe worth, it'll probably be worth the price of a movie ticket. I don't know that it's worth the time that it takes to read. It's about an 800-page first book, and it's a trilogy.
Ooh.
So, I'd say Game of Thrones instead.
You're that summer, Game of Thrones. Right on. Okay, well, I guess I'm next. So, all right, I have a couple. First of all, just really quickly, I wanted to kind of add on to a recommendation that somebody already gave. Based on Jody's recommendation last episode, I checked out Julia's Eyes.
Oh, what did you think?
I loved it.
Awesome.
It's so good. It's really, really good. And I know what you mean. Like, it has a very, like, slow build. But then the climax is pretty epic. Mm-hmm, and there's that whole scene leading, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but there's a scene where the villain has kind of been revealed, and it does a really good job of making you think everyone is the villain.
Then
when they reveal who it is, there's this whole scene where she's kind of having to use her wits that is incredibly intense. There's also a fair bit of eye violence that I was not prepared for.
That was really well done, though. I thought the special effects in those scenes were very, very
good. A little too
Eye stuff really gets to me. Well, that's one of those ones that makes me just cringe, and I pull a Rachel with like my hands.
There's really
over my
only
eyes.
One I guess. Serious eye violence thing, and they don't let it be put you off. It, like this, actually, you of anyone, I think, would probably really like it. It's very. I wouldn't say it's noir-esque, but it's very, I don't know how, like, there's, it's very atmospheric.
Okay.
And very calculating in its, not like tempo, but, like, its pace. Mm-hmm. You're going to really like it. So, yeah. That's the second.
Okay, eye violence?
There's some violence.
I am really disturbed about eye stuff.
There's some.
I have a couple stories, and you would understand why.
Oh no!
Like when okay,
have
when
you
I
had
was,
eye violence.
When oh dear, you're talking about eyeballs, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so when not I was the letter I. Kid,
no, not as in me. It was not violent against me.
And my little brother and one of his friends found this old mattress, and they put springs on their fingertips.
Oh like, God! Okay, don't even tell me. I don't want to know. Okay. Just stop.
That sounds awful.
Oh my God! Okay, I'm having like a Jody and Spiders reaction to the story. I can leave the room if everybody else wants to hear it.
It's okay.
We can take a vote. Springs, eyeballs, Rachel. And mattresses just do not sound like a good combination.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of my other story when I burned my eye.
You burned your
I
eye?
I burned my eye, had deep laceration to my pupil I didn't see for 3 months. There was a 70% chance I would never get my vision back.
Oh, you're lucky. God.
And I did get it back.
Oh my God. Eye violence, no. I feel like we need to start a fund to prevent eye violence.
Well,
now.
I was watching this fund, like, the other day, and they had these like clips from some show with these like carnival people on it, and this guy like would hang weights.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah, his eyelids. That was one of the places he hung weights from. And
oh my God! Oh my God!
It was like the worst thing I've ever seen.
Seriously, the skin on my back just got too small. You know what I mean? You know that feeling where you're like.
That's such an odd reaction to things, ooh. But it happens.
Isn't there like an entire chapter of Men, Women, and Chainsaws that's all eye violence as like Freudian castration?
Probably. You know, I'm not I'm actually reading through the book. I have not gotten to the eye violence, but good to know that's
warning,
lying in wait.
There's a whole eye violence theme. Look out.
And that's castration?
Yeah, she's kind of reading it in a Freudian way as, like, the castration.
Interesting. That actually would kind of make a little bit of sense in terms of Julia's eyes. I could kind of see that.
I hadn't thought of it that way before. I'm going to have to watch it again. Then.
Well, I mean, well, think about the motivation for the villain. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It kind of makes sense, but... So, yeah, if you guys get the opportunity to see Julia's eyes, totally recommend it.
Okay.
I don't really have, I believe it or not, I really have not seen that many horror movies. I've been, Summer and I have been kind of hanging out, doing some maintenance with happier things.
Yes.
So, but I did, and so this is very horror adjacent, but I did check out Hannah. Have any of you guys seen it?
Oh, not yet.
No.
Mm-mm, not yet.
It's really kind of it's this weird, like, mixture of action film and coming-of-age film with, like, this weird, almost, like, fairy tale-esque thing to it. It's also kind of a road movie on top of it. It's a strange mixture of genres, but... and it has this amazing soundtrack by Chemical Brothers. So, and it's... definitely something I feel like you need to watch more than once because there's a lot happening in terms of like a lot of subtext, but it's pretty fantastic. I would definitely recommend it. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like a bizarre coming of age fairy tale with some really awesome action scenes mixed in. Like the climax scene takes place in this like abandoned it's like sort of an amusement park, but it's like based on fairy tales, and it's so fucking creepy. And we looked it up, and it actually exists in Berlin. It's like, and you can still like go there. People like go there and like party and stuff. And so there's like a tunnel that's the shape of like, I guess it's like a little Red Riding Hood, like ride of some kind, because the tunnel is shaped like the wolf's mouth, and you go into the tunnel, like into the wolf's mouth. Badass. It's really cool. It's fucking trippy. So I definitely recommend checking out Hannah. Cool. And last thing I saw was, and this is just, I don't know if this is just going to show my age, but I watched the documentary Hit So Hard, and it's like the life and near death of Patty Schimmel, who was the drummer of Hole.
Okay.
And
it's like all her footage from like years, like being on tour and just like, you know, hanging out with everybody. And so like, obviously the focus is her and her addiction and how she ended up basically turning tricks on the street. Yes. Before she got clean, but there's it was like the first time they also got the band sort of back together. Every member of the band who's still living, obviously, did like, you know, talking head things, and there was lots of like footage of Kurt before he died with like playing with Francis, and it was growing up in that era and very much like having the Kurt Cobain thing be a big milestone moment in my life. Like it was cool. And I had to like break out the whole albums immediately. So yeah. I've been on a little bit of a Hole kick. I'm like, and it just like reaffirmed my love of Courtney Love. She's a fucking nut.
Yeah.
And I just love her. Like, why are there not more Courtney Loves? You know what I mean? There's so many like,
she's such a brilliant nut.
Yeah, and that's what's so amazing. Like, she's fucked up, but she's also fucking with you, and it's intentional, but she's just, like, such a, like, a, she's so raw and just completely unfiltered. I don't know, I love Courtney Love. Even though she, again, is slipping deeply, deeply into the uncanny valley, I still love her.
Yeah. I have a friend who's a screenwriter, and she lives in LA, and she was telling me the other day, I was, like, at her house, and she was saying that she was at some, like, industry party, and Courtney Love showed up, like, either drunk or something.
Oh, she's
else.
Clearly on something in this
and, documentary. She kept, like, falling off the bar stools, and then she was wearing these, like, crazy, super expensive, but, like, hooker heels, you know? Mm-hmm. And she took them off and, like, stuck them on top of the bar and was, like, dancing around, and all these women who were in the bar kept, like, eyeing them, and then like a bunch of women like rushed and tried to steal her shoes and run off.
Wouldn't you though? If you could have Courtney Love shoes, wouldn't you totally snap them up?
Hell yeah.
I actually got to see more of Courtney Love than I really care to at Lollapalooza 3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll just say she had her leg on her amp and was doing a Britney Spears.
Right. Oh, that is kind of like, that is sort of like her stadium stance.
Yeah,
that was just.
But it's a commando inappropriate one.
Yeah, I hope I have the strength to dress like a crazy old Miss Havisham. Later in my, do you know what I mean? Like, I hope I'm an eccentric old Miss Havisham too. Like, whatever.
Yep. she's just sort of like, you know what she is? She's sort of like the human Grey Gardens in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love her. And by the way, fun fact about Matilda, she does a very mean Hole karaoke.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Okay, so that's it for my recommendations. Who's up next? That would be Sarah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny that you mentioned Hit So Hard, because I actually ended up watching Hype not too long ago and have been downloading pretty much anything from that era that I could find. But it was funny because I was thinking about Patty Schimmel not too long ago, and then it's like she popped up in a magazine, and I've only been home like 10 days in the past month, so I haven't been watching a whole lot of stuff. I did happen to see a really great movie. It's on Netflix streaming right now. If you have to check it out, it's called Make Out with Violence.
Make Out with Violence.
Okay, this movie is, it's, I guess a lot of people would compare it to Dead Girl, because there's a similar theme, but it
zombie rape?
It's, no, but it's about this group of friends, and they've graduated high school, and right before graduation, the it girl of their group, Wendy, disappears, and nobody knows what happened to her. And so the movie starts, and they're actually on their way to a memorial service, because everybody by this point assumes Wendy's dead. What happens is Patrick and Beetle go for a drive after the service, and Beetle wants to go catch fireflies, so while they're out walking around in the field, they come across Wendy, and she's tied to a tree. Ooh. And it's, you know, they know something's not right with her. So they take her down, they put her in the car, and...
Make sweet love to her? Turned...
Yeah. No.
Just testing. Wanted to know. That's what I would do.
Oh my god.
Just kidding!
So anyway... There is no zombie rape.
Oh.
It's
all my, like, zombie rape dancing I've been doing in the background's gone to waste.
Yes.
So you can get that out of your head, Rachel.
Fine.
Soundtrack's amazing. The story is really good. It really is just like a coming-of-age drama that happens to have this, like, creepy zombie girl in there. And the way Wendy, like, moves is just really jarring and unnerving.
Right.
And yeah, it's,
I love that in horror movies.
And you know, Beetle goes through and narrates the story, and like the last line is hilarious. It really is hilarious. But it's listed in Netflix under like horror and dark humor, and it's really neither. But I definitely recommend it. I highly recommend it. This is a must-see.
Okay. So.
Interesting.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Well, then the other movie that I saw was Rise of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, I really wanted to see that.
I heard
it
was really good.
It was good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, there's... And it's really funny because the story centers around James Franco. But, like, the pivotal plot point is actually the guy who played Sock.
Really? You mean...
Yeah, he...
You mean Dale from Tucker and Dale?
Ooh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, like, the role that his character has, you actually, like, is really more pivotal to the plot than James Franco.
So can you give us, like, a rating? What you would... Like, would you say, see it in the theaters right now?
You know... Oh, absolutely. Absolutely see it in the theaters right now. And it's a great film. Like, I mean, it's like 2 hours long and it doesn't feel like it.
Oh, that's good.
That's nice. Now, is this film like at all, is it supposed to be a sequel to that other remake of Planet of the Apes that they made? Or is it different?
No, this is its own entity.
Okay, well that's good because I went to see that when it was in the theaters. Me too. And was like, so horribly disappointed because I'm actually a fan of like the originals. Okay, yeah, not all of them, but like the first two at least. So I was horribly disappointed by that remake that they did. So I'm glad to hear that there's not like... This is made by the same people and supposed to be a sequel or something.
How's the special effects on Caesar? How does he look?
You know, I think he looks great. I know some people don't like all the CGI. You know, it doesn't bother me.
Right. He was so good. I love Andy Serkis and, you know, in Lord of the Rings, obviously. Mm-hmm. How does it compare to Gollum? Because Gollum was great, especially in the third movie. He looked amazing.
Yeah, he did.
Mm. Yeah. Well, he's a great actor. I mean, his expressions, the movements, it's wonderful. It really is good.
Awesome. Good. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited. And I've been, you know what, like, people have been like, yeah, this is gonna suck, but I have been a believer from day one. I was like, this movie's gonna be fucking awesome.
Well, I just found out that it was coming out. Remember, I was here, I was like, oh my god.
I know, I didn't even know about it until like 2 weeks ago.
There was something else, too, that you had never heard of.
I had no idea that
it was So, okay, did you have any other recommendations, Miss Sarah?
You know, I've been watching The Gates on Netflix Instant.
Oh, and how's that?
You know, the series isn't bad. Like, it looked... It was on ABC this past season, and it's about a gated community called the Gates.
Oh,
and
with the vampires or something?
Yeah, vampires and werewolves.
Didn't it get canceled though? And,
I think I just heard Matilda's eyes roll.
What? No.
She's like, vampires roll eyes.
No, I just thought I was gonna get a good Ebola book or a good viral book, and wrong. No.
If you want a good Ebola book, nothing beats the hot zone. Oh, that will fuck you up for life.
That will, like, that traumatized me.
I don't know. I think Swan Song is probably one of the best post-apocalyptic books out there.
I could not get into that fucking book. I tried. Like, the crazy homeless lady, I was like, oh, no. No, no, no. Enough of her with her glowing crystals.
Never read it, but that sounds interesting.
I have, for those of you out there who have, they'll appreciate my humorous comment. For no one else on the podcast, but that's okay.
All right, so I want to hear what Summer's been watching.
Okay, so the one thing horror-related, I didn't finish it. Okay. Did not finish it. The Poughkeepsie Tapes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's what I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Okay, so it was just too real for me. And then so we had to stop it. But then the next day I was watching TV and it was like this true crime story. Me and Rachel were watching.
We were like, holy shit, like it's the fucking Poughkeepsie Tapes. This dude was breaking into women's houses and like stealing their underwear and killing some of them, raping and killing them. But they found all these videotapes of it. He was like videotaping himself, videotaping it.
Wow.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said when I talked about them is that it, like the Poughkeepsie Tapes, it feels so real. And I used to, like in junior high and high school, I watched so many of those like true crime shows. I was like kind of addicted to them, especially the ones about like serial killers and stuff. And it felt so real. Except for the few... Did you agree with me about the one actor guy?
The guy that was supposedly watching the tapes? Yeah. Yeah, he was weak sauce.
Every time he talked, it, like, totally pulled me out of it.
Yeah. Well, the Poughkeepsie Tapes kind of pulled me out of it, only because it's like, here you have this supposedly FBI agent, and he's sitting there behind a desk, and he's like, well, you know, the things that we saw, is it okay? Because it's really graphic. Should I say this? And it's like, come on, man. If you were a real cop, because like, I grew up around law enforcement, and because my dad was former law enforcement, and it's like, they don't really stop to think about that. There's no, like, oh, can I say dismemberment? Is that okay? You know, it's like, they just talk about
it.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That kept pulling me out of it.
Right. Right. Okay.
But the moments on tapes were just, some of them were just so creepy. Like, did you, the nails, with the like, brownie, going through the woman's neck, that creeped me out.
I have so much to say about this movie. I feel like we need to do an episode on it, so I don't want to go too far into my feelings on it. But while there are definitely moments that, can potentially pull you out of it, like the bad acting and like Sarah was saying. I mean, I didn't catch that because my involvement with law enforcement was never particularly educational. But
for me, that movie just really freaks me out because real shit like that happens. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yep. And like in the back of my head, that's how I'm going to die. You know, and like
there was those guys. What was it? Nien and or. It was the white guy and the Vietnamese guy that like in the late 70s and early 80s,
right.
They were, you know, and that was what up there in like Mendocino, wasn't it?
Something about Northern California, like I swear to God, there's something about like freaks. It breeds serial killers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, truly that movie disturbed me. And it wasn't even, I mean, I actually found it to be pretty graphic, but I'm a wimp, but it was more, it really fucked with my head.
Yeah.
Like, really, in a way that a lot of movies didn't. Like, Insidious scared me for a long time, and I kept, like, waiting for the demon to be up in the corner of my room or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is one that, like, it was sort of fun scary, whereas this was an unfun scary.
Not fun at all.
You know what I mean? Like, when I would think about it later, because, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm home alone fairly often, and I mean,
she has a guard dog.
It's really huge, and it plays football, and it was in the Mob. So don't fuck with me.
But you got me on your couch. All right,
I know I got 2 feet of thuggaliciousness. Yes. Summer next week. But I want to do like a full episode on that movie because I feel like you undersold it, and it was far more. Maybe because the way you talked about it, I was expecting Dateline. So when I watched it, I was like, holy fucking Batista.
Well, see, and like, I'm the one that has to turn it off.
Yeah, you never do.
Hell, though.
I know, but it...
Like, I watched this one about this serial killer guy who used to put women in, like, he would take them for, like, a month at a time, you know, and, like, torture them and stuff, and then stuff their bodies in big oil drums, and the cops, like, found them on his property, like, years later. Like,
I find that...
stuff like that that...
Isn't that really Dexter?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I think that those facts are disturbing, but it's not the same kind of thing... where you're seeing the head games, like, one of the most disturbing scenes in the entire film to me had zero violence. It was the part where he's picked up the girl. He's got the girl into the back of his car, making her think it's a cop car.
Yeah,
and then he's just talking to her, and she's begging for her life and offering him any kind of sex that he wants, yeah. And she will do anything, and she won't fight if he'll just let her live. And, you know, you just hear her screaming, and, like, oh, I'm getting chills. Oh!
I guess, okay, so, I don't know. I guess I was doing a podcast. Yeah. Okay. I guess I just, like, didn't want to, like, scare you. I wanted you to see it. That's part of it.
And, like, I can hear Jody just, like, stretching and, like, no sweat, shaking, knocking the dust off her shoulder with this. But for me, that really...
I think I need to see this.
What's that?
It sounds like I need to see this movie.
You are going to be... Listen, I am not the barometer for what will shock you. I'm the barometer for what will shock your grandmother. So it's all in a day's viewings. But for me, I found it really intellectually disturbing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It sounds interesting. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll do an episode on that
soon.
So
there's a couple other things that I watched that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Limitless.
Oh, yes.
Not horror-related, but I think horror adjacent. Wait, awesome.
What was it?
Limitless.
Limitless.
With Bradley Cooper.
Who speaks French in it. Ooh la la.
Oh, God.
You know, like, I always kind of, and this will upset you, I'm sure, I always kind of, like, chalked him up to kind of being a little douchey. You know what
he
I
comes
mean?
Off
like,
that way
he's a little, like, yeah. Dude bro for me, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Or, what do you call him, Matilda? Tattooshes? You call them tattoosh bags or something?
Yes.
Wait, where does that come
well,
from?
Well, you've all, like, seen the guys I'm attracted to.
Right. Oh, yes. So, but him speaking French kind of...
Oh, my God. It was such a turn
...changed
on.
Things for me. Yeah, I finally see it. Yeah. I get it. What do you guys think? Are you pro Bradley Cooper, or do you think he's a...
No.
...too douchey for words?
No. I forget what episode it was now. One of your early podcasts. I can't remember what movie it was now. And you were talking about him, and I'm like, really?
Case 39.
Really?
Hmm. Oh, it must have been Case 39.
Yeah.
Summer's
yeah,
always had a thing for him.
Yeah, and I'm not usually into male actors. Like, nobody, like, does it for me but him. Oh, my God, I don't know why.
Yeah, like, I think of him as, like, the guy from The Hangover and A-Team, and I'm just like, he's, like, he's too smarmy for fucking words.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's something, like, it just ticks, like, an intelligence box or something when he starts speaking in French, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, I hit it.
Another language. Mm-hmm. He's got
it. So I'm not going to go into the movie because I think everybody should watch it, and it's kind of fairly new, so just go watch it. Is everybody caught up on True Blood?
No.
I'm caught up, finally.
But go ahead.
Are you sure? What about
no? You don't
ladies?
Want. Well, you read the books, though, right?
Yeah, I've read the books.
Okay.
Okay. So me and Rachel have totally different views on the last episode. I was so disappointed with the sex scene that we've been waiting 4 seasons for.
You know what it is? Is you like any sign of weakness turns you off? Whereas I seriously like. I can't help myself. I totally get a wedding for Bird with a Broken Wing. I can't help myself. So, like, when he's all, like, sad and
is this
lost.
When he loses his memory?
Yes. And, okay. Like, all, that's what my favorite like, you know what I mean? Like, he's, like, hurting and vulnerable. Like, I can't help myself.
And that was cute. But when it comes to sex, I was expecting a lot more, like, freakiness. Like, let me tear my clothes off and bite you and... There was none of it. It was making love.
Sometimes it's okay to be tender, Summer.
No. No, there was no sometimes. Blood. Not even fangs came out. There was nothing.
Really?
Oh. Sometimes you have to fuck her gently.
In the books, it's supposed to be like the best you
can do. Not if you're a vampire.
You don't always have to fuck her hard.
There you go.
Ew. Sometimes you have to.
Yeah, in fact,
squeeze.
Sometimes
you have to say please. Sometimes you have to get her dinner from Zanzibar's. Okay,
no.
Like
I just was expecting it to be a lot more hotter than it was. I was so
disappointed. I disagree.
You loved it, Rachel.
I did. I would like him to take me tenderly on a in the forest. Yeah, that would be okay.
Throw me down and
under the sweet light of the moonbeams. And I want like squirrels and raccoons to come out to the sounds of our lovemaking. Yeah. Really, anyway, Eric wants to do it. I'm fucking down, except for in the butt. I'm totally cutting that from the episode, by the way.
That's where Rachel draws the line.
Yeah. So that's
he can
all
bite
I've been
me,
watching.
Suck my blood, whatever. No butt. Not up the butt.
No butt. Oh my god, I've got to get some fucking sleep.
Sure, sure. Blame it on the sleep.
Okay.
You don't like a little back door?
No, no. I'm gonna pass. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, let's keep talking about this.
Anyone else have a take on?
No, I'm just gonna purr out right now. I'm not gonna
Rachel,
say anything.
You just almost pulled the whole computer off the table.
Okay, let me not break the fucking podcast.
She's like pulling everything off the table.
I know. I'm getting a little too excited, apparently, talking about butt sex with Eric. Okay, compose myself. Right, so, anything else about True Blood you want to talk about, Summer?
Very disappointed in the sex scene.
Right.
And I would love to get my neck bitten. I don't want to make soft love. Not at all. Then again, I'm a pro, so.
You are indeed.
Yeah. Yep. And Jersey Shore just came out. Everybody watch it.
No, I was saying earlier, I've never been like a huge fan, but I keep watching it because both of you talk about it all the time and I always feel left out.
Did everybody see the trailer that came out of Comic-Con for the second season of The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well... If you want to know more about it, you can check it out on zombiegirls.com and you can hear me bitching about how the girls are still getting short shrift. But, that being said, even though I do feel like girls kind of get fucked on that show, the trailer looks fucking amazing.
Really good. Yeah.
It looks so good. Like, there's this whole part where the zombie horde is coming and they're trapped, like, they're kind of, their car's broken down, so they're trying to hide under the cars,
yeah,
hoping the zombies won't find them, and you know how that's gonna turn out. So, and it's just, like, it's a really well-made trailer. It reminded me a little bit of how amazing the trailer was for Battle Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Which was so fucking terrible.
let's hope this is not
right.
The same
I don't,
way.
But I mean, it was that same sort of like you kind of got that feeling of like they did a good feeling of a good job of creating that feeling of just like you know loss and apocalypse and but
it gave
then
me a lot of anxiety watching it, like,
which
it
is
freaked
a good sign.
It is a good sign. It is a good sign because I'm putting myself in their position and it just freaks me out.
There's some good horror TV coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's that. And then what else?
Dexter's coming back.
And then there's the stuff that's just starting to come out about that American, what is it? Like American Horror Story by Ryan Murphy, who did Glee. And it's like supposed to be like the anti-Glee. It's like he calls Glee feel good TV. This is supposed to be feel bad TV.
Awesome.
And there's not much has been released about it. It's just coming out.
Yeah, okay.
But it's like people, like they did like a screening for some of the press and they were like, oh my God, that is, it's
is it
really
like a
disturbing.
Series or is it?
It's going to be another series. It's on, but it's on like cable somewhere.
Huh.
Well, there's a clip of Walking Dead season 2 and it's Rick and he's in the forest and he's just, there's these zombies walking up on him and he's just gone nuts. Like he's like beating one with a tree branch and then he picks up a rock and he's like slamming one in the head and then like two more come out and he's just, you know, it's really cool. It's really intense.
Does anybody else have a hard time rooting for Rick? Like I kind of want to see him eat it.
Really?
I do a little bit.
I don't like his wife.
Oh no, his wife's got to fucking go. I'm just saying all the grinds. Yeah. It's like maybe let's start over with
the husband?
Yeah.
No. I had a hard time really identifying with any of the characters in that series, to be honest. I didn't read any of the comics, so.
I'm pro Rick. I like him.
I don't know.
The only guy I felt for is the guy. Is he in the second episode or first episode? When he meets the guy and his son.
I know. I keep wanting him to come back. I mean, they've got the walkie-talkies. They've got it, and I love that actor. I loved him when he was on Jericho. I loved him when he was in Snatch. Yeah. Like, I can't think of a movie where I've seen him that I didn't like him.
Graphic novels at some point.
I haven't gotten far enough for where he shows those. All right. So I guess that's it for what we've been watching. Matilda has to leave a little bit early. We're going to mix up the format a little bit and go ahead and go to my favorite part of every episode, which is listener feedback. Woo-hoo! We actually, what we lack in quantity of feedback this week, we make up for vastly in quality. We don't have any letters and we only have,
Hey, this is Deadwood Doug. Just calling to let you know I'm really enjoying the new format, the constant total updates. I mean, it's almost too much to keep up with. It's great. And Exploding Joe is completely wrong. Demons is a great film. Directed by the son of great Mario Bava. His name's Lamberto Bava. It's really a great encapsulation of Italian horror. But anyway, I was wondering if y'all had heard, I'm sure y'all had to have heard, about the new Zombie Girls film. This is the trailer. In a world without horror heroes, steps the zombie girls. Rachel, Hell's cheerleader captain, with an infectious laugh, twin 45s, and a battle axe named Wilfred. She's ready to kick ass and talk fast and taking no prisoners. Summer, the bodacious reincarnated priestess of blood who reigned over half the known world in 20,000 BC. Demanding sacrificial hearts of the strongest men alive. Now she's back on Earth and looking for payback. Ariel, the dark loner whose kinetic talents took out a high school prom's glee club. She can destroy deserving foes with but a thought of her superior mind. Brianna, dark and deadly scientist in charge of unholy experimentation in Miskatonic University. Her mind is constantly coming up with more ways to alter flesh than seems humanly possible. Don't get on her bad side. Sarah, the ghost of the greatest ninja alive. She will slice you with her blades and pummel you into submission. Fighting for honor against the darkness. Beware that sound in the night. Explodey Joe. Last of the Karnstein vampires, she has run roughshod over Europe by 200-year reign of terror. And Matilda, she is the unknown thing hiding in a box. When will she be revealed? I messed up so bad. I think I'll start over again. Hold on a second. Don't listen to this.
Oh my god, that was so awesome.
Can I just say that is far and away our best voice spell ever.
Yeah, that was like the best one I think we've ever gotten. So creative, thank you so much. That was so cool.
I like that Matilda is the basket case.
I thought my idea for a Zombie Girls movie was good, but that was awesome.
Yeah, I like want somebody to make that movie because that's badass.
I know. I want Sarah to be a ghost ninja, and I like that I'm a cheerleader.
And a cheerleader with 45s.
I know. I'm quite happy with my.
I want to play myself in the movie.
I know.
Can you take the hearts of men?
I know. The strongest man must be sacrificed to someone.
Perfect. Oh man, that was great.
So yeah, that's why I was
strangely...
What's that?
Go ahead. I'm strangely touched by like the idea of him sitting there and writing that carefully before he
called. I know. So that's much creativity awesome. And like work went into that. It's amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
And I like there's a little bit of our personalities. Like he doesn't gotten to know Matilda yet, so that's why your basket case. But like everybody else kind of got like a little bit of
their... I know, even got like the loner in there for me.
Oh, you're not a loner, but you do have telekinesis powers that took out Glee Club.
Exactly.
That was awesome.
Was that not fucking awesome? And how cute is his accent?
I know.
I like how he's like, Lamberto. Yeah.
That was great.
So Doug, dude, Nudie's in trouble. I think I may have a new favorite list. Step up your game, Newt.
We still love you, Newt. But Doug, you're freaking awesome.
So, yep, this is what we do it for, ladies. Sometimes when we're tired and we're watching really shitty movies, I'm looking at you, dead girl. which we got to remember, it's for the fans.
Yeah. the fans.
It's for the fans. We do it all for the fans.
Thank you. But yeah.
So somebody, speaking of crowdsourcing, fund that movie. Let's
yes,
do it.
Please.
Wait, yeah. Splattercast guys, you've been looking for a screenplay?
Here you go.
Bam!
Pick it up now.
I'm going to need a really good stunt double. I have all the coordination of a three-year-old.
Yeah. I think that actually makes it even better.
Oh, yeah.
Although, if we did have the stunt double, we could have basically, like, someone who looks absolutely nothing like you do, like, a backflip, and then have you be like, hi-ya. Yeah.
like a 6'5" black dude as my stunt double.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah. Like the end of Flashdance.
Yes.
Right, like right. Yes. She had a dancer that was, like, male and, yeah.
Refused to shave his mustache.
Absolutely not her. Yeah, totally.
Oh, so yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, did you like yours, really, Jody?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was really cool.
And do you want to rebut his rebuttal of your characterization of demons not being that good?
He's allowed to be wrong. It's okay.
Awesome. So yeah, love that feedback. So I want to encourage everybody out there. You know, we love to hear from the audience.
Yeah.
You can reach us a few different ways. You can always send in Go Old School, which it's not really that old school, I guess, but it is now. Email. You can email us at rachel@zombiegirls.com or summer@zombiegirls.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail, 16786-Z-Girls. That's 16786-694-7759. Or you can follow us on Twitter. So, all right, so that's it for feedback.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll get some more next week. Should we talk about the blob?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who would like to synopsize?
Not me, because I think I was heavily medicated that whole week.
Okay, a blob lands in a town and, like, people get eaten.
Yeah. That's very succinct. But you skipped over all of the good mullets and hairdos. So we're going to have to go. The hair in this.
Those can come up in the discussion. The plot is covered.
Speaking of Twitter, we were on Twitter talking about this movie, and I was saying that the hairdos are worth the price of admission. Like,
yo, yeah.
There's so much good stuff going on in this movie, but just the hair alone qualifies it for all the much watch list, I think.
I think so too. The main girl in this, my sister had that haircut when I was growing up.
I think mine did too.
She had, like, blonde.
But it was like a big red cobra. Like, you know what I mean? With, like, the wings yeah. on the side.
Yes. The aqua-netted wings on the side.
Okay, so let me talk a little bit about the blob. All right. Now, this is obviously a remake of the 1950-something film starring Steven McQueen. And this one is from 1988. It's directed by Chuck Russell, who also directed Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The mm-hmm. Scorpion King, The Mask, Ooh. And Bless the Child, which I've not seen. And it was written by him, and then more interestingly, it was written by Frank Darabont, who mm-hmm. everybody knows mostly for his, like, Stephen King adaptations and The Walking Dead, mm-hmm. who inexplicably stepped down as the showrunner of The Walking Dead for season 2, but that's Aww. Another subject. And it stars Shawnee Smith, who most people recognize from Shawshank Redemption. No, from Saw or Becker.
Yeah.
Who stars as Meg, and who totally, I had not seen this at the time, totally belonged on our Badass Bitch yeah. episode.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It also stars Donovan Leith, who was in the very fantastic, and by fantastic I mean fucking awful, slasher film from the 80s, Cutting Class, starring Brad Pitt before he had all the microdermabrasion and it was like acne scarageddon.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It also stars Kevin Dillon, who is the lesser Dillon brother. Most people know Matt. Yeah. He's in Entourage, like, but I never really watched Entourage. And then he was also in, like, the very Lifetime-esque titled When It's Not a Stranger, which I'm guessing is a woman in peril kind of film. And then Jeffrey DeMunn, he's Sheriff Herb, and he was in The Walking Dead and The Mist, so obviously him and Frank Darabont have, like, a thing going on. And then other people sort of note, but who are really, like, you know, bottom-tier characters. Bill Moseley has a tiny little, he pops up in the end of the film as one of the soldiers, who I think has, like, one line. And even back in the 80s, his eyebrows were totally 3D. He has some very aggressive eyebrows. I feel like a little bit like they're giving me dirty looks. I don't like them. And then also Erica Eleniak, who most people know from Baywatch or the action epic Under Siege. She also, speaking of eyebrows, has like, she's one of the girls that like, those girls that just like shuns the tweezers.
Yeah.
And rocks the unibrow. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, if you're not Frida Kahlo, you need to tweeze that shit. So, okay. So the film opens in a very like all American, like the message is this is like any town USA
right.
high school football game. Our Meg, our female protagonist, is cheering and has very exciting 80s Aquanet do. And I love this era of hair because, like, nothing happens to the back of your hair. It could look like, you know, like total fucking train wreck, but the front is very carefully coiffed into a wall.
Yeah, where the front has been, like, wind machined.
Right, right. Or, did you see the picture that Jeff from Splattercast sent us?
Yeah.
It looks like Karg from Masters of the Universe or something, which I've never seen, but I realize that totally affects my geek cred. And then there's the quarterback who yes. is played, Brian.
No, it's Paul.
Paul wants to ask out the cheerleader. So he's sort of like conversing with his friend, trying to decide how he's going to finally work up the nerve to ask her out. And he does, and they make plans. But there's a third very important character at play. is showing his bad boy, his bad boy rep for us by the perfect trifecta of the mullet. The beer, the leather jacket, oh wait, the quad, and the motorcycle.
I know,
the
that's quad what I have written down in his character description. Bad boy, motorcycle, rider, leather jacket, mullet.
Right.
Yeah, I wrote that too. Drink a leather jacket, drinking beer, smoking, and hanging out by himself near an abandoned broken
car. Right.
I got I got that too. I didn't catch his name for ages, so I just had him written in my notes as bad news. Like,
so, like, he's out there, you know, partaking in his cigarettes and booze, and he decides he wants to try to jump the bridge on his motorcycle. Sad news for him, he ends up crashing. But, happy news, he had an audience in the town hobo and his dog.
Yeah.
And because his bike is broken down, he has to go over to the town auto shop that also works on the snowmakers, because it's a skiing town. They make kind of like, it's really clear that this is right before the skiing season's about to start. And he gets the tools or whatever so that he can go back and fix his bike. And the only reason we bring it up is because that tool, or the snowmaker, becomes very important later. There's some foreshadowing for those out there who want to be analytical and shit. So he goes back to work on his bike. And while he's there, there's just been a crash of a comet. The hobo is going over there and he sees it, and you know, like you do, he starts poking it with a stick.
Of course.
And out of the stick comes like this like super loogie that crawls up the stick and starts chomping on his hand.
Yeah, and it's like bright orange loogie.
Right.
It looks
right.
like something I coughed up.
Right. Seriously. Right, right.
And of course, and what gross. Does the hobo do with it? Like, he's got the gooey alien crap on the end of his stick, and instead of like throwing the stick down and running, he like holds it over his head, I waiting know. For it to fall on him.
He was drunk.
I know, probably.
Mm-hmm. So okay so we see the hobo kind of get attacked by the blob, and it cuts to a convenience store. And I actually thought this part was pretty funny and clever, where they've got like the pharmacist behind the counter who's like having mm-hmm. to sell like they have to buy the condoms from, and like the one that's going out with Meg is kind of shy, whereas his friend's like super mega perv.
Yeah.
And he wants to get some. So he goes up to the counter, but he doesn't want to like when he sees the pharmacist like give him stank eye for buying condoms, which good job, way to buy condoms. Condoms are good. Mm-hmm. Good message in there somewhere. He says it's his friend, and he's like, he's an animal. You know, I keep trying to tell him, you know, don't do anything like that. That's bad. But you know, he just can't control his urges. And of course, because apparently priests just hang around in liquor store or in convenience stores waiting to embarrass people, the town priest is there, and he's like, oh, these aren't for me. Oh. And so the pharmacist is all, you know, like, judgmental, but they head out. And we cut back to our bad boy who's fixing his bike, and he runs across the hobo who's now got the alien on his hand.
Yes.
And he's screaming. And this is the first like clue of how awesome the special effects are going to be in this movie, where he walks up and starts trying to chop his hand off with the, with the axe.
Yeah. Which is really cool.
And the blob just like goes right up over where the cut was, basically preventing him from being able to cut it off. And I love it. There's something about this that I really like, the bloodthirstiness of it, that I really like. In the same way, it reminded me a little bit of The Ruins. Have you guys seen The Ruins?
No, I never saw that.
No.
Okay, well, I read the book, and there's this whole thing about, like, the plants, like, greedily slurping up blood when one of the people, like, cuts their wrists. That I always found, like, visually kind of, I mean, really creepy and interesting. So that just kind of reminded me of that. But I'm alone, apparently. Has anybody read or seen that?
No.
I've seen it, yeah.
Okay, did they do that in the movie, too?
Not really.
Ah, weak sauce. Okay, so can somebody else take over this? My brain is just not working.
I'll try.
Oh, yay! You're the best.
Well, I'm on my third beer now, so I don't know how well this is going to go, but, right. So the old guy is trying to cut off his hand, which has been consumed by, the pink goo, or the blob, if you will. He runs out into the road, and he is hit by, was that guy's name Paul?
Yes.
Meg?
Paul and Meg. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So they run him over, and they take him to the hospital, and then, bad news, he leaves, I forget why, but and then Paul later finds
because
that
he's too rebellious. Okay, he can't be held by walls.
Yeah, he's like, these people don't need explanations. If you need me, you'll know where I'll be. And then
and he walks off. Way to go, mullet boy.
Yeah, right. That's right, with his leather jacket.
And how lame is this town that he is the town bad boy? Like, even the sheriff knows him.
Yeah,
he's like the juvenile. I think his character is the most 50s. Out of all of them, like, he has the 50s clothes, the 50s look, except for the uber 80s mullet.
Yeah, he's like the outsiders, you know, he needs to be called, like, Soda Pop or something.
Right. But, like,
but
I mean,
so,
like...
Yeah, he's so that way that, like, John Waters would appreciate him.
Right!
Right? Like, this is a hood. This is a juvenile delinquent.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, Paul looks at the old... Because the old guy gets taken into, like, the medical room and everything, and he sees all this stuff, like, wiggling underneath the sheet on him.
Uh-huh.
And he pulls the sheet back, and the guy's been half eaten or dissolved or something by this blob.
Which is, love, like, this whole sequence is great.
Because his whole lower half is just dissolved. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's the bit where I sort of sat up and went, wow.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. Because you don't expect it. So that's pretty cool. And then, so Paul calls the doctor and everything, and he tries to ring for help. The blob sneaks into the room behind him and devours him. It sort of covers him because it's growing. Every time it eats somebody, it starts to grow.
Right.
So it's the size of a person already. You know, it's getting pretty big.
And it just covers Paul and melts his skin.
Yeah, it just totally dissolves him, and it's really, really cool. And I thought it was quite unusual that this guy dies so soon, because I thought he was supposed to be a main character, because we see him right at the beginning and everything. So it was kind of a surprise when he gets killed so early.
I know. I thought that was awesome. Like, I like that this movie does a good job of sort of subverting your expectations, especially if you saw the original. You think that Paul is the Steve McQueen character, and that he's going to be the hero that you follow throughout the film.
Right.
When that's very much not the case. Also, okay, so what I was going to talk about is, so the blob is on the ceiling, right? And the way that it's given away is that some drops fall off of it, and apparently it's, like, half xenomorph, because it, like, does the alien blood, melting of the desk.
Yeah.
And so he looks up, and it just, like, attacks.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a few bits, actually, now that you mention it, that reminded me of Aliens, which was that bit, and then the bit later where the guys are looking at the schematic of the sewers, and they're like, if we seal off that part, that part, and that part, that reminded me of Aliens as well. I don't know if that was deliberate. It was only a couple of years after Aliens, right?
88? Yeah, I think so. It came out 88, and what was Aliens, 86?
86, yeah.
Damn, I'm an encyclopedia of useless information.
86 or 87?
I think 86.
No, it was 86. I know.
Yay! So, I think this kill, like, is probably my favorite of the movie. And there's some good ones in it, but this one is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
Because it's, I think, probably the most graphic of all the kills.
Yeah, where, I guess so, because he sort of like lurches towards Meg and he's sort of screaming, isn't he, as he's going mm-hmm. towards her.
And he does sort of the like return or Raiders of the Lost Ark face
Thank
melt.
You.
But yeah. I love the part at the end where like they it's like I like the process of the way that it melts him, where his jaw sort of detaches and his mouth elongates.
That's the best. I love when they do that special effect of the jaw hanging.
In my reading of this, apparently they told Shawnee Smith that it was going to be whatever, you know, practical effect they were using underneath the blob. But for the very first shot, it actually is Paul. So there's a part where she screams out his name at the beginning. Like, you know, she looks genuinely scared.
Yeah.
It's because they surprised her. She didn't know that the actor was actually going to be underneath the blob. So
clever.
Right. Fun fact.
Cool. Good way to get that reaction.
Yeah. My notes are actually very brief, so I'm probably going to have to skip over
a lot. Oh, it's fine. We'll talk about it more.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But the next bit I have written down is Paul's friend, I think his name was Scott. He's got a girl in the car and he's sort of getting her drunk and everything.
Right.
Making out. And the blob, like, he goes around to the back of the car to make a drink. And he's got this whole like bar in his
His car is the best. With the blender.
He opens up his trunk and it's got like disco lights in there and stuff.
And Banaka. He has a Banaka holder. Yeah.
And then so he goes back into the car to, you know, feel up his date. She's asleep. Well, he thinks she's asleep, but the blob is, it's sort of got inside her. And then when he puts his hand down her shirt, it grabs him and devours him too.
I love that.
That's like the best date rape comeuppance in the history.
Oh, it's so good. Because, I mean, this girl, he thinks she's just sleeping and he's like, joking around and like slowly unbuttoning her shirt and
how
sticking his hand like in her bra, cupping
you
her
look
boobs.
Kind of hot.
Oh,
ugh.
So disgusting.
Like, it's so creepy and predatory. Gross. And I know it's kind of meant to, like, I think it's supposed to be meant for laughs, but it really, gave me the creeps. So when he
and then she just like collapses,
she sort of like caves in.
Yeah,
it's kind of gross.
And I did think it was interesting that the blob can shapeshift in all these different ways, right? So when it counterattacks him here, it is in these big, ropey, semi-phallic
appendages
that shoot out of her, right? Right,
really
the attempted date rapist. It kind of, like, comes out in five long phallic things that wrap around him.
It's very, like, it very hentai-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hadn't really picked up on that, but now that you mention it, yeah. the next part I have is the police are questioning Bad News. What's his name? Is it Brian?
It's Brian, yeah.
But I like Bad Brian. News. Let's call him Bad News.
I'm just going to call him Bad News. Yeah. They're questioning him about the death of Paul because, because he's a no good delinquent. They assume he had something to do with it.
Yes, of course. He melted the guy's skin.
Yeah.
Off, you know?
Yeah.
That's what
obviously.
Bad boys do.
Obviously, yeah. But they don't have anything to hold him on, so they let him go. So he goes to this diner and Meg follows him and she's been telling the cops what she saw happen to Paul and obviously they don't believe her so they kind of connect in the diner.
I like this scene too because this is kind of like the moment where she goes from being the high school cheerleader to your heroine of the film. You know what I mean? Like she's scared, but instead of cowering or being ditzy or just kind of like waiting for her turn to get taken out, like she wants to confront the problem. Nobody believes her, so she's like seeking out, you know, like an ally to be able to like let people know. And she also, I think, the part of what works is that it happens for us as an audience, but it also happens for Bad News, where he kind of blows her off and kind of has written her off as like some like high school, you know, bimbo. But, you know, she's like, you're just like everyone else. Like, she's confrontational and, you know, I this is at the point where I went, ooh, this is a good character. I like this character. Mm-hmm. She's got some backbone.
Mm, yeah, definitely. So they kind of get stuck in the diner because it's late and the diner's locked up. One of the guys gets, like, sucked into the sink.
Great.
The blob is in the sink and, they think it's blocked. So he puts his hand down the plug hole to try and unblock it. And then he just gets, like, pulled down into it and... That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was an awesome scene. The kill scenes are great in this movie.
Well, like, yeah, really inventive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up until this point, the blob has like come for the bat for its victims. Or in this case, it like pulls the victim in, which I think is again unexpected. Like the kills are not, you know what I mean. Even though it's like they found a way to make the kills interesting. Even though I mean, this blob has one thing that it does. It like grabs you and it dissolves you. But it the way that they set up these kills, they're all very distinctive.
Yeah, they're all different and new. And
yeah, it would have been really easy for them to just do it the same way. Like, you know, the blob just absorbs you.
Yeah, it would have been boring as hell.
Weren't you expecting sort of the blob to jump out of the sink and then kind of like cut to the reaction, like the sound, and you cut to the people running in to find him dissolving?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was cool to have him actually, like, to watch him collapse down and to look at, like, his head goes under, the feet are, like, sticking out.
Yeah, that was really cool. we've got the owner of the diner who, she escapes somehow, I haven't written down how, and she's in the phone booth and she's trying to call for the sheriff. The sheriff was kind of, like, flirting with her earlier and he gave her his telephone number. So she phones him and then the blob sort of comes out and absorbs the phone booth. Like, that was a cool scene where it's, like, around her and it's, like, surrounding the whole phone booth.
Right.
And then that was my favorite kill of the whole
thing. While she's in the phone booth, you see the sheriff in the blob.
Yeah.
It really threw me off. Because you would have thought that he would have lasted a little bit longer.
Yeah, you think really good at killing off
characters you think are going to last.
Yeah, because the sheriff is usually the one that, like, helps the kids out. Yeah. They finally convince him that the blob is real, and he helps them.
And it's partly because of a scene we skipped over where they're, like, the sheriff and his deputy are confronting the bad news, and the sheriff's, like, very reasonable. I mean, he's more reasonable. He seems like he has his wits about him.
Yeah.
Where the other guys, you know, he feels very much like body count. Like, he's, you know, impulsive and just very cookie cutter. You know, meathead cop. So you think that, you know, again, here you have, oh, this is our other, you know, this is our, you know, our Dr. Loomis character. And all of a sudden, you just see, you don't even see him die. I mean, his death is, you know, it's great because you see him dead, but you don't see him even get attacked. It's very, like, surprising in that moment when you see his face sort of, like, rubbing up against the outside.
I was like, oh, shit.
I think you did, too. What were you saying, Matilda? Is your favorite kill?
Oh, the phone booth one. Absolutely. Right. Where it's kind of like the aerial shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of the phone booth, and you see her calling, and then it's on all four sides and kind of implodes.
Yeah, it kind of all caves in and just, like, it all rushes into the phone booth with her. It's cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. And then, meanwhile, Meg and Bad News are inside the diner. They're hiding in the freezer, and the blob tries to get under the door of the freezer, and it retracts.
Right.
For some reason. Right. So they eventually get out. And then we see the priest. He arrives a bit later and finds the diner sort of all busted up and the windows are smashed and everything. And he finds little broken bits of, little frozen bits of the blob, which he puts into a jar. And then we don't see that until much later.
It's kind of like a throwaway scene.
Yeah.
But it's foreshadowing, like you said.
Yeah.
Everyone totally very knows good where for it's foreshadowing.
You know where it's going. Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
But that's not really what we're looking. We're not looking for massive plot twists of this movie. Yeah. We want good blobby kills, and it delivers.
That's true. So Meg and Bad News go to the sheriff's department to look for the sheriff, and the ladies, like, all the phones are going crazy and everything because all this shit's going down. So she says, I don't know where he is, but the deputy. I forgot his name already. But that was the guy in RoboCop who gets melted by the toxic waste.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's, he's, like, in a lot of things. I've seen him, he was, like, Jack Bauer's brother in 24.
Yeah, and he was
Isn't that, he was also in Fame.
Yeah, he was in Fame.
Paul McCrane.
Yeah, he was in ER for a while. He was in
He's, like, the dickhead doctor. Yeah.
He gets his arm cut off by a helicopter. Yeah. Cool. but yeah, so they go into the woods to look for him, and they encounter this, like, gun-toting hazmat team in the woods where the meteor landed. And they say that they're this like government biological containment team, and they're like, ooh, you know, what's all this going on? And the main guy who's heading up this team is called Dr. Meadows. And he says that many, many years ago there was this meteor that killed all the dinosaurs, and it's his theory that it carried an alien plague.
Right.
So that's what that's the story we're getting at the moment, that this, you know, this meteor crashed and is carrying this alien plague that's infecting everybody.
And you're like, sure, that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Obviously.
It could be Night of the Creeps too. Who knows?
So meanwhile we see, well, it cuts to what we think is the next kill, but it's actually a scene in a movie. Meg's little brother is in the cinema watching this movie called Garden Tool Massacre.
I love that.
The slasher within the movie is so that amazing. Awesome.
That was so cool.
It's such a great like send up parody style of slashers, and you got to think this is like 1986, so we're like in the thick
height of
slashers. Yes.
It totally threw me off.
Yeah, because a couple of times it cuts to like a kill scene in the movie, and you think maybe that. But, you know, then, no, it's not. It's actually their movie.
Yeah, it kind of threw me off because it cuts to the couple making out, and and then that's within the movie. And then it cut to the guy in the projector, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is actually... Mm-hmm. It's really funny. When the boy's describing it to the mum, he's like, oh, it's so violent, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I don't want you watching a movie like that. And he's
going, oh. there's a lot of, like, really funny moments in this movie. What I mean? Yeah. Very self-aware sort of things. Like, we talked a little bit about the embarrassment at the pharmacy. But then when the guy goes to pick up Meg, it's revealed that her dad's the pharmacist.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That was funny, yeah. So, what happens then? I've just got a guy gets killed in the projection room. I forget how. Is he in the,
His death is pretty cool. He's looking in the air vent, and then they cut away to somebody else who's like, what's going on? Why, you know, like, and goes, because he's called for help because the AC has gone out. So someone else comes in and discovers him, and he is half dissolved, stuck to the ceiling.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was badass, though. Yeah. I'm remembering that now.
It's all coming back to you.
Through the gate. No,
so then I've got Meg and Bad News in the van. Everything's being quarantined because they're saying that it's this, like, alien virus or something. And he's really paranoid, and he ends up escaping from the van, leaving Meg on her own. And she gets taken back to town because everyone's being held in, like, the town hall. But she sneaks off because she's looking for her little brother.
Right.
Who is in the cinema.
Which I love that. I love that she doesn't wait for her parents or anything. She's just like, I'm going to go save my brother and I'm going to do it by myself if I have to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. She just runs off. And this is the bit that kind of reminded me, like, I've only seen a little bit of the original, but the blob scene in the cinema and then when it's in the street stuff, that really made me think of the original, or at least the trailers.
It's really, like, really similar to the original.
Yeah, like, you know, you think of those, like, parodied sort of 50s sci-fi trailers, like the terror, the shock,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming for you.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I figured they did that deliberately because that was really cool.
Yeah,
so you see the blob, it's getting pretty big now. It's kind of like taking up half of the theater, and it's absorbing all these people, and people are screaming and running around. So we've got Meg and her brother and his friend, and they manage to escape, and they run to the sewers because they reach a dead end in the alleyway, and they run down into the sewer. And the blob obviously comes after them. Meanwhile, Bad News is in the woods retrieving his motorcycle, and he sees the hazmat team, and they're sort of excavating the meteor. And he overhears them talking about their plans, and that's where it's revealed that it is in fact a government experiment to create some sort of, like, biological weapon or something like that.
Right.
I didn't pick up exactly what they were doing, but I don't think it really matters. It's just, you know.
It's something about they sent this virus out, or this bacteria or something, out into space, and, like, the radiation, apparently it's half kryptonite or something, because the radiation from the sun, like, affects it and turns it into, like, the eating monster.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, it's all we need to know, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, really.
So then they get a call to hear that the blob is in the sewer, so they plan to trap it there. And we get this big dramatic reveal when he's like, the civilians are expendable, because...
Oh, yeah.
He's very villainous, isn't he?
Yeah, it was brilliant. He doesn't mind killing off all the, you know, kids and families and everything.
Yeah. So Brian overhears this, and he's obviously runs off to save Meg and her brother and her friend.
He finds his inner hero.
Yeah, so he runs off.
He's like, I have to live up to this hair. The glory of this hair.
That's right. And so on his way, he does the bridge jump quite spectacularly.
Finally.
Yeah, that was actually quite a cool sort of stunt scene, I thought, because he sort of flies over it, and then the truck sort of falls down into the...
Yeah, I like that.
I like when he turns around and gives him the finger. Yeah. I was like, he is a bad boy. He is bad news. Summer's like, I bet he'd do me hard.
No soft
lovemaking. No soft lovemaking. Tender lovemaking.
So then we've got some of the hazmat sort of guys show up in the sewers with machine guns. and we've got Meg and the boys trying to escape. But the blob's underwater. That was kind of cool. Like, it's kind of swimming at them underwater and they can't see it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it gets his friend and we get another sort of dissolving.
Again, a moment that shocked me.
Yeah, that a little kid is going to die.
I thought for sure the kids would get away.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So the brother manages to escape through like a little sort of window thing in the sewer. But Meg gets on the back of, Bad News turns up on his bike and rescues Meg. Let me see.
This part reminded me a little bit of Aliens versus Predator Requiem, the second one, where there's like the whole thing with the underwater, the monster chasing them in the through the sewers.
Yeah.
It made me think of Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like how he's like, you know, riding his motorcycle through the sewer and he goes, there's like the blob is blocking their way. And so he goes up the side of the wall.
I know, he totally Knievels that motherfucker. Yeah, I'm like,
That was really cool. So some of the hazmat guys, I guess they get eaten by the blob as well. And they've got one guy left. And they almost escape through this manhole.
That was Bill Moseley, by the way, that just got chomped on.
Oh, was it? Oh, right. I did see his name on IMDb. I didn't realize who he was meant to be. But
eyebrows gave it away. They're practically coming out through like cracks in the hazmat suit.
Yeah. So they almost escape out of this manhole, but then evil government people cover it up. Luckily, this guy has a rocket launcher on him, though. He just happens to be carrying it around with him.
As you do.
Yeah. So
it's an American thing, Jody. We all carry a rocket launcher.
Oh, you do?
Around.
Oh, you just carry
it. That's
right. You don't have them? The Bobbies don't let you have one? What's going on?
No, actually, our rocket launcher laws are a bit tighter than yours.
Well, if you want mine, you're going to have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands. I feel like very political today.
Is that in the Constitution, really? Rocket launchers? Oh, anyway.
Well, I think that's what the forefathers meant, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
So everybody gets out, and then we get this kind of standoff between Bad News and the hazmat guy and the deputy. They're all sort of pointing guns at each other. And Bad News reveals what has happened, you know. And Dr. Meadows is saying, no, he's infected, blah, blah, blah. We can't let him escape, blah, blah, blah. Because he's still trying to keep up this story that it's this, like, plague kind of thing.
Right.
But he gets his just desserts because the blob gets him instead. And he, like, busts up inside his suit and eats him inside the suit.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. And it's such a great, like, comeuppance scene, you know? Yeah. It's like, he's been such a tool and such a jackass.
This movie does a good job of punishing the bad guys, doesn't it?
Definitely.
But who would have ever thought that, you know, like, Deputy Chump would be, like, kind of one of the heroes in the end?
I am.
Yeah. It was really good. So the military start, like, trying to bomb the blob and shoot at the machine guns and everything, and none of this works. And Meg, she's got a fire extinguisher, and she's putting out a fire. And then she finally says what I've been, like, yelling at the screen for like, an hour. It's the cold. It doesn't like the cold. So she starts like spraying the blob with this sort of fire extinguisher and starts to like retract away from the cold and everything. And then Brian gets the genius idea to get the snowmaker that we saw much earlier.
Da-da-da.
And then he starts freezing it, but it crashes. And then badass Meg picks up this machine gun and explosives and stuff, and she goes all, you know, badass and everything.
She goes all
and
Ripley on that motherfucker.
Yeah. She blows up the snowmaker and killing the blob, and we get this massive, like, you know, frozen, shattered blob sort of everywhere.
All these, like, orangey pink crystals.
There was
everywhere.
One moment of sort of, like, unexpected tension that I really loved in this scene where she's, Bad News is still trapped in the fire truck or whatever, the truck that he drove in, and she's shooting it and she's, like, blown it up. Or she's set it so that it's going to blow up, and she goes to jump off.
Oh, yeah.
And her leg gets wrapped in the cord, and she just, like, it's so...
Yeah, and she keeps pulling.
Because you're like, yeah! And then her leg wraps, and she falls. You're like, no! Because it was such a great moment. But then, obviously, Brian comes and rescues her. But she rescued him first, damn it.
And then we get this little sort of epilogue at the end with the priest... giving this weird kind of sermon and everything in the middle of nowhere. And then he's talking about the end of the world and the rapture and everything. And this lady's like, oh, when is it going to come, Reverend? And he's like, soon, it'll come soon. And you see that he's got the little jar with the defrosted blob inside, like, squirming around in the jar.
Yeah, that he's going to do something with. And his face is all, like, half melty and stuff.
So I have two things to say about that. First of all, I really enjoyed that second of Jody, Explodey Jody theater that we had for a second there. That was awesome. But secondly, now this is where, again, you remember we're introduced to the blob killing Paul because it has like acid blood. How is he keeping it in the jar? Couldn't its acid blood get out?
Of the glass.
Well,
maybe not after it's been
Pothole. Ha ha! I just wondered if maybe maybe I missed something. But
well, maybe how does the alien... only its drippings can like burn.
Yeah, how does the alien blood not burn through the alien skull? You know.
Good point. Good point. Okay. Excellent point. So yeah, the preacher gets all Pentecostal and he has the blood pieces. But I like that right before that happens, you sort of get almost like a Joe Dante-esque ending where everything's, you know, sort of like the humorous, happy.
Everybody's like hugging and the snow is falling.
Yes, they're like, I told you the snow would come early this year.
Yeah. That was actually really nice when you see, because it looks like it's snowing because everything is snowing.
Right,
yeah, that was very cute.
And Meg is kind of returned to her fluffy bunny status by that snow. And it's all in like Brian, the Bad News is mullet.
Oh, such a bad mullet.
So, I mean, overall, what did you guys think of the movie?
Yeah, I liked it.
Who wants to go first?
I liked it. I thought it was lots of fun, and it threw me off a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Good kills.
Good kills.
Good kills.
This is a movie that, like, we talked a little bit before we started about how, like, we kind of came to this movie, and Jody and I have a similar experience in that it was always I'd heard it was good, but it was the blob. You know what I mean? Like, I just didn't really have that much interest. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered it on Netflix streaming, and I was, like, 15, 20 minutes into it, and I was like, how have I never seen this movie?
Yeah, I was shocked.
Like, how did I miss this one? It's so freaking good. Like, it was, I think it was when Paul bit it. Like, his kill was so, like, it was so surprisingly good that I was like, oh my god, how did someone not sit me down and make me watch The Blob? This is so good.
Yeah, it's an awesome movie. I've seen it probably, like, 5 times or something.
Well, then, what the hell?
I've seen it. What?
Well, even...
I don't know. I guess I
Because it's, like, old school, I guess. I've seen it a bunch of times, too, when I was little.
Right.
But I don't remember it being as good as it was. Or something. You know?
Well, I think you were kind of like, The Blob. You know what I mean? And I was like, I think I even said to you, I think it's going to be better than you remembered. And you were like...
And it totally was. 100 times better.
It's so entertaining. The special effects are, you know, pretty good in it. The kills are
even
awesome.
The cheesy ones are charming. Like, I like it was like where they superimpose the film or whatever it is that they do to make it crawl across the ceiling.
Yeah. It doesn't make you groan, you know? It's like, it's fun. And all the Meg character is great, and, you know, Brian's entertaining. It's all really good. I really like this movie.
I feel like it's a good modern monster movie.
Yeah.
Like, it has sort of like some of the modern politics, you know what I mean, with having a female protagonist, but it has a very, like, creature feature feeling to it.
Yeah.
But with good, like, state of the art at that time, obviously, special effects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Sarah, I totally talked over you. Or maybe Matilda. I talked over someone. Whoever it was, Doc!
Oh, I think you said it. I mean, I loved the way that the blob could be so many different. It could look so many different ways over the course of the film, which I really loved. And that it did have that definite, like, 50s creature feature thing when it was in the street and towards the end when it was just.
Yeah. And in the movie theater, when, like, all the people are running and screaming and getting trampled and stuff, that's very much, you know.
Yeah.
Like that,
but it could also
something.
in the water supply or in the sewer come out and have like the big gaping mouth, when they've got him cornered on the stairs. So it let it be a lot of different things. Which is great. And I'm sorry, I gotta go.
I know. I kept waiting for you to cut in. I was like, oh my gosh.
All right, I'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for being on the show. Bye. Love you, Matilda.
Bye.
Now, while watching this movie, there was something I couldn't get out of my head, and I'm probably alone on this one. Is the episode of The Simpsons. When the Homer is like the blob?
Yes.
Yes, remember that? Okay, I'm not the only one. I just kept thinking about that.
That's a great episode.
It is.
Yeah.
I had one question. I think it might have been Hannah in one of the emails said that there was some scene that, like, shaped her sexuality.
I know. I gotta figure out what that is. Let me see. She hasn't come on yet. Maybe we can, like, grab her and put her on real quick if she's around.
Yeah.
Because she was supposed to be on.
Yeah. I mean, the only, like, weird sexual thing that I saw was when Bad News licks the deputy's face.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was that?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe it's the scene in the date rape scene.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah.
So I didn't spot anything else.
Yeah, there's not many sexual scenes.
Or maybe she's just extra freaky. We just aren't even going there. That's my vote. Okay, let me see here. Contacts.
Anyways, as soon as she tells you, we want to know.
Yeah. I'll definitely add it in because, yeah, I'm totally fucking curious. That's part of what, like, made me go, like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Also because it's so awesome. But I wanted to hear whatever freak nasty thing she was going to say. Yeah.
This is Hannah Neurotica, and unfortunately I was unable to be part of the original podcast all about The Blob, but I had to put my two cents in because, you know, we all have those movies we remember from our childhood that had an impact on us for one reason or another, whether it be like a really insignificant moment that just stuck with you. And for me, The Blob, 1988 version, had one of those moments. So the situation is that my parents at the time, we lived in Brooklyn, New York. I was born in 81, so the film came out in 88. So what was I, like 7, 8? I don't know. I really can't do math. I was young. And they were having a, I think it was a New Year's Eve party, because they didn't have a lot of parties at all, but there was this brief year span there where they were having these big New Year's Eve parties at our house. And I think in this particular year, I must have been really tired, because while all the partying was going on, I went into their bedroom and closed the door, and just, I think I must have been tired, I don't fucking know. And I put the TV on. There was no VCR, no cable. I mean, it was like you had a couple channels to choose from. And The Blob was on. Obviously, I had never heard of it, didn't know what it was. I was really young. And it caught my attention because I ended up watching the whole thing. But I remember sitting there just mesmerized by it and not realizing at that point in time that I'd be here 30 years old telling people that that moment had a huge impact on my sexuality. Because there's a scene when, and I, to be honest with you, I can't remember the name of the actor. I don't think it was Donovan, but I don't know. It's a scene, you all know what I'm talking about, okay? So they're in the car on a date, and the guy is with the girl in the car, and she falls asleep, or he sees her as sleeping, and her big tits are like busting out of her shirt, and he's basically saying to her, you know, are you, oh, you look like you're hot, and oh, you're hot, and he's trying to unbutton her shirt and, you know, put words into her mouth that she needs her shirt removed. And that scene just turned me on for some reason, and it was, I think, the first time that my brain was like, I think it was a turn on for two levels. I think one, I was really fascinated with her breasts. I was like, oh, that's really sexy. But then the idea that some person, this guy, whatever, would want to take advantage of me, and of course that's a horrible thing to say, but we all know that, you know, with BDSM and all that stuff, I mean, I think that that's a really little moment where I kind of had that submissive dominant thought, however I was to interpret it in that time period. But it stayed with me, and it was just a big turn on for me, and it was just one of those scenes that I will always remember really being one of the first film scenes where I was watching alone and actually feeling aroused by an image. And that was from The Blob.
Jody, you were saying you had a question, but did you want to give your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, sure. This was a pleasant surprise, actually, because I think I must have seen parts of this before. I have a feeling maybe it was shown like early in the evening on TV with all the violence cut out, and maybe it was like, you know, just a not a very good sci-fi movie with, you know, but
yeah, without the kills, it would be kind of,
yeah, yeah, but yeah, pleasantly surprising. And like we said, they do quite a few things that you don't expect, like kill off people that you don't expect them to, mm-hmm. and, you know, stuff like that. Quite pleased with the special effects. They were pretty fun. I liked that there was one towards the end where it's like it's in the shape of like a octopus like tentacle and it like flattens a guy and like picks it up and he's stuck to the bottom of it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah, what else? What else do I like? All the dissolving people were really cool. I just like that bit where Paul pulls the cover back on that hobo guy and it's just like his legs are gone. He's just been completely dissolved.
I mean, that's a great reveal. The first time you really see that happen to anybody, it's really cool.
Yeah. I like that effect anytime they do that. That's something that shows up in different horror movies.
Yeah.
Like The Ruins is one where that happens. But then also, it reminded me a little bit of the part in Piranha, one of the best parts from Piranha, where they took my penis!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, usually you can see it coming where, like, you know, someone's pulling on someone and you go, all right, I know their torso is going to come up and their legs are not going to come up. But that happens in The Mist as well, same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you don't expect it in this part. It kind of happens when Paul's getting devoured by the blob and then Meg grabs his arm and just, like, pulls his arm
off. Yeah, that was great. I forgot about that. I didn't have it in my notes. And she's trying to pull him out and then his arm just pops off.
They really just keep upping the ante with that kill. I think that's part of what's so great about it. Like, you see him, he already looks fucked up, but then he dissolves and he does the jaw thing and then she rips his arm off. Like, it just keeps getting better and better and better.
yeah. And I really wish I'd had the chance to watch the original because I wonder how many references they made to the original.
Now, Sarah, you've been strangely quiet. I haven't heard much from you on your thoughts on the movie.
Well, like I said, I didn't get a chance to see it recently. I saw it about 6 months ago.
Right.
And, you know, growing up, it was always on cable, so it was one of those movies just kind of like, okay, Blob's on, you know, just throw it on and watch it for the sake of having something on.
Mm-hmm.
And I always enjoyed it. You know, it's a lot of fun. Like we've been saying, good kills and good special effects. And, you know, now it's got that whole cheesy kind of schlockiness that most 80s movies are beginning to have with, you know, the hairstyles and the clothes and that kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, watch it.
I think that this would fall into the same category as Night of the Creeps, where, like, yeah, the styles date it, but other than that, it doesn't really feel that dated to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dialogue isn't, like, super 80s stylized. And
Right. It's not with, like, really dated slang all the time or anything.
Like, you can kind of forget it's an 80s movie after you get over Bad News' hair.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it feels contemporary to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought this movie was kind of like, there's obviously loads of blood and gore and death and kills and everything, but there's not anything really like nasty about it or really, really violent about it.
Mean-spirited. And,
I wonder if this might be quite a good one to show to a kid.
Like, as an introduction really new to horror. A kid new horror. I think you're right. Because it's so much fun and I think I can't imagine anyone disliking it.
Exactly.
It's a good one to desensitize them to the violence a little bit.
it's not really that scary. There's nothing, you know, really threatening. It's just kind of fun and silly, but it takes itself just seriously enough that you can enjoy it as well.
That's interesting you say that, because I was thinking if I had seen this as a kid, it would have fucked me up.
Really?
It would have scared me, because, like, the block could be anywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? It could be in the... I mean, when you're a kid, you're already scared of everything. So, like, it could be in the sink, it could be in the toilet, it could be in the bathtub. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess that's true.
It just kind of makes me think of that comment when the kid is trying to convince his mum to let him go and see that movie. And he's like, Mum, it's okay, there's no sex in it. And I think,
Loads
of violence, but no sex. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
That's so true, though. Okay, so that brings us to our Netflix streaming pick.
Yeah, I want to hear the Netflix pick and the anti-Netflix.
But, well, that's the new exciting thing. We're adding a new segment. Sarah made the mistake of offering a really good idea that I'm totally taking her up on. We're going to add to our Netflix streaming recommendation the anti-recommendation. So, all right, Sarah, let us break it down.
Okay, so I happened to come across a film on Netflix streaming. It's a French film called Le Revenant, and translates to They Came Back. Mm-hmm. It's billed as a zombie film, and in some ways it is. But the plot is, in France, all the dead one day just get up out of their graves and decide to go home. And either France has some really great embalming techniques or what, because everybody looks as good as the day before they died.
It's all that wine.
Yeah. Must be.
Pickles them.
But so if the story focuses on this little village, on this village or town that gets inundated with their dead, and it focuses on three sets of characters. There's a couple whose 7-year-old son, who's been dead for 2 years, has come back. There's an old man who's the mayor of the town, and his wife of like 40 years had died and is now back. And then there is the there's a lady who I can't remember if it's her husband or like her fiance, but he died in a car accident and he's now back. And what happens is the government, in order to handle this, decides to put all the dead into like Red Cross shelters and like local gymnasiums till their loved ones can handle bringing them home.
And
there's this great scene where, you know, it's like all the dead are in the center, in like there's all these cots laid out and they're all in the center of this gymnasium, and off to the side are these curtained areas. And the couple with the son are being led to see their son, and you look over and there's this Red Cross worker handing this infant to this woman who's just like, she's just in total shock because, you know, obviously her baby had died at some point and now her child's back. And it's like, you know, so it's really got a good grasp of emotions in that way, but at the same time it's like, what ends up happening is the lover, I can't remember any of these people's names, but the lover, the fiance, he's like an architect or something, and he ends up returning back to work, but he can't really remember what it was he was doing. And like the dead start to get up at night and wander through the town and meet up at like this guy's office building, and they go to a meeting room and they hang out and they talk, and it really starts to weird out the authorities. So
but
they
here's
start
what I need to know.
To...
Is there any zombie rape?
No zombie rape.
Are the zombies killing or what?
It sounds like a really boring version of that Masters of Horror episode where the zombie, but without the like fun political message.
Yeah, because that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, Homecoming,
that was
Joe Dante.
Awesome.
with the Ann Coulter kind of parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great one.
But basically what ends up happening is, like, all these zombies get together and decide that they can't live in this world anymore. Meanwhile, the government shoots them all full of, like, this drug that basically induces a coma. They're still, like, their brain is still functioning, but they just can't move. And I'm not really sure because I fell asleep during the middle of it.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah. No, I fell asleep during the middle of it, and so next thing I know, the zombies are like trying to take over the town and blowing up buildings. So I think they're blowing up the factory where all the drug is stored. Meanwhile, the military descends upon them, and they all decide to go live in the sewer.
Wow. So it's sort
they're
of like
become the Chud.
It's kind of I was gonna say it's like Homecoming mixed with Chud mixed with like X-Men or something.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, it's just it was the concept sounded so good, and the beginning of it was so good, and then it just got boring.
It sounds boring and convoluted.
It seems a little heavy-handed with the message. You know what I mean? Like, they got so caught up in the message they forgot to write an interesting movie.
Yeah, and it's just like these people just keep having these awkward interactions because, like, the mayor, the young couple with the son, and
bonjour, would you like a baguette? No, I am undead.
and the woman, they all work together. But it's like they just have these bizarre interactions that they don't seem comfortable with each other, and there's no, like, when you run into somebody that you've worked with for 10 years, you probably have a little more to say than, oh, is that your son? He's nice.
Right.
You know?
So there's clearly some not so smartness happening.
I mean, really just don't bother. It's
all right.
My girlfriend. It's giving me weird looks about zombie rape.
Sorry, Sarah's girlfriend. I don't really condone zombie rape.
And I just give a great big shout out to her right now? Yeah. Because we're in the middle of doing this podcast, and she comes over and gives me a nice frosty pint glass and nice an ice cold bottle of beer. So that's just awesome. Whoa. Right there.
Aww, that's a awesome. Good woman. Does she do house calls? Someone, where's my big glass of frosty beer? What the fuck?
See, Mr. Explodey's in the other room going, when can I go to bed?
Okay. So, then, all right, we'll let your man go to bed. Let's,
I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, good, then he can stay up. Fuck him. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so, I actually have a pretty good Netflix pick this week.
Good, one we need something after
kind
that.
Kind of, something I found surprising. I was actually pleasantly surprised. Okay, so, my Netflix streaming pick for this episode is, it comes from the 6 films to keep you awake, which I guess is sort of the equivalent of, like the Spanish equivalent of, what is
8 films to die for?
Yeah, exactly. But it's 6 films, and they're going to keep you awake instead of kill you. But okay, so the one that I watched, and there's a few of them that are on. Not all 6 of them are on Netflix right now. I'm hoping that they're going to add them because I really like this one. It's called The Baby's Room or La Habitación del Niño.
That's really good.
Have you seen it?
No, I've heard it's really good though. That it's really creepy. It's got a lot of atmosphere.
Right. Okay, so let me read you the description from Netflix. Juan and Sonia move into the perfect new house with their newborn, but things take an unnerving turn when the baby monitor starts emanating odd sounds. After Juan installs a video monitor, he realizes there's something present in their home.
Ew.
So here's the thing. I think everybody kind of has an idea in their mind of what this movie is about, right? But it actually, it sort of subverts your expectations quite a bit. It's all located, there's only like 2 places, that locations in this entire movie. And there's also, like, in addition to there being sort of this creepy story, there's also some, I think there's a little bit of like social commentary on the influx of like Eastern Europeans coming into Western Europe following like, you know, the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
So I maybe, you know, Jody can talk more about that, but so there is sort of that aspect to it, where at first they think that there's somebody breaking into the house, because they're this super happy couple and they've got this newborn and they're fixing up this like old creepy ass fucking house, but they got a really good deal on it, and it's like in this really nice neighborhood, and you know, but they never thought to consider like why they got such a good deal on it, right? And there's like this creepy old woman that like sits across the street from them with a broken radio listening to it, and like she kind of has a connection from her past with this house. But they start to hear creepy noises on the baby monitor, so they get one of those video ones that Brianne has that totally looks like Paranormal Activity. Whenever she has it on, I'm like, why are we watching Daisy in Paranormal Activity Edition? It's so creepy! But, like, he looks over and he sees there's a man sitting over the crib. Like, looking over the crib. And they call the police, they think it's an intruder, they think it's these foreigners that are coming in, that are breaking into houses. And, you know, it sort of follows the progression, and the mother isn't really seeing it. She's just watching him kind of come unraveled, because nobody believes him what mm-hmm. he's seen, and it kind of follows. And he's also becoming increasingly violent, and it kind of follows the progression. But once it kind of reveals what's actually happening, it takes this bizarre left turn. What it is it reminds me of like a longer, really good episode of The Twilight Zone.
Ooh.
So, cool. I definitely recommend it. So definitely check that out. I don't want to say any more because just if I spoil it, but part of what makes the movie so cool is it's kind of something you don't expect to be what it is.
Gotcha.
So definitely check that one out. And I'm guessing nobody here else has seen it. Can comment on it?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Well, definitely if you come across it, I mean, don't go super far out of your way, but if you come across it, it's well worth a watch, and it's really short. It's like it's only 80 minutes long, so it's not.
It's in Spanish.
It's in Spanish, subtitled, but it's good. I don't know. I really liked it. Something's going on in Spain, man. They're making some good shit.
Yeah.
You know, Julia's Eyes was Spanish, right? This, the Rec movies. Spain is coming up. You know? I think someone on the cast doesn't like The Orphanage, but I really liked The Orphanage.
Oh, awesome. I love The Orphanage.
Such a good movie.
I know, so good. Mm. Like, the end is such a fucking punch to the gut. Oh, yeah. Love The Orphanage. Yeah. Okay, so I guess that's basically it, unless there's anything else you guys want to talk about.
No, I think you covered
it. No, I'm good.
All right, good. So I guess I'll just reiterate to everyone. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. So send in your feedback to Rachel@zombiegirls.com, Summer@zombiegirls.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Rewind. I'm not going to list all those again. Or you can give us a call. Thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Ooh, good job, everybody. Does anybody else need a beer before we start?
No.
Do you want a beer? You were just saying how you wanted to get drunk on the next podcast.
Isn't it like,
I know.
Isn't it like lunchtime for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever heard of mimosas? Oh, we don't have any of those. But you know what? I have a mimosa-like beverage. It's called beer. And I'd be happy to get you one. Okay. No? All right.
I like a little junk in the trunk.
Okay. So... Planet of the Apes is a go. Gay porn makes more money. The things that you learn on Zombie Girls.
We're here to inform you.
Right. Really. At this point, you can come here for any sort of... It's no longer a horror podcast. It's a fucking non sequitur podcast.
What did it sound like?
Like... Pretty good impression, right?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I hope it's not my beer belches that I'm just not realizing that I'm
doing. Listen. They were impressive, if that's what it was.
Oh, but now
I know. Apparently, they were shaking.
Wait, again.
Yeah, it sounded like a brushy mic kind of noise.
Okay, how's that now?
That's good.
Yeah.
Good?
Okay. Yeah. I've got one bit that's held together with tape, so I'm just making sure that that part is still. That might be one.
Okay, we're starting a Zombie Girls Fund. All right, listeners, we need to start a Zombie Girls Fund. Let's crowdsource this motherfucker. We need to get her a new mic that is not duct taped.
Because yes, she's MacGyvering it.
Sounds like she's MacGruvering it, but that's okay. We were all drunk at a barbecue and we broke into his house and videotaped it, and it was full of dolls. Yes.
While he was going to the hospital.
Wow. Well... I was not. When opportunity knocks, you get a fucking video camera and you take it. Okay. If you walk away from nothing from the Zombie Girls podcast today, you need to know that. I got called a greedy turd.
By who?
I don't know. Some troll on fucking Craigslist.
It's so sad.
There's no hope for the future between Obama selling out and children's pageants. Like, we're fucked. Those are the two horsemen of the apocalypse. I don't know what the third one is. I think it might have something to do with Glenn Beck, but I'm not sure yet. Whatever. You know what I want?
Like, what
I want
the hell are
I
you
want
talking
Congress
about?
To be like how the parliament is, where they like pull people, like where they're just like screaming at each other, and like it's so amazing. Like, how dare you, sir? You are a scallywag and a scoundrel, and I won't have it.
But you skipped over what happened to the hobo before they meet up.
Yeah, you did.
What happened to the hobo before they meet up?
Well, the comet.
No, the comet hasn't happened yet.
No, he already has the glob on his hand when he meets up with Brian the Bad.
He does?
Yeah.
Really?
So.
Yes.
Huh. Hold on. I'm referring to my very detailed notes, and you will see
that you're wrong.
He jumps the bridge. They cut to the sheriff trying to holler at the waitress. Then then he goes, and there's like the snowmaker. Then they go back to the hobo, who gets it first.
Yeah, and then he meets up with the bad boy.
No, he already saw him crash on the bike.
Yeah, but they haven't
met.
But
they didn't, did they?
Well, he laughs at him, and he takes the beer can, and he pours it out, because, you know, the hobo's got to get that money.
Oh, you're right. That's, I forgot about
okay.
that.
Okay, wait a minute.
My bad, sorry. Let's
take a moment to enjoy this moment. Rachel is right. Okay. Come on.
She
gives me the dirty look. You know what, though? You know what this is about? I'll tell you what. This really has nothing to do with about me being right. This has to do with Golden Child. You put me on blast for Golden Child. So you're on my list.
How many episodes ago was that?
It still feels fresh. The wound is fresh. Okay, so anywho.
All right, I was wrong. Rachel is right. All hail Rachel.
Dude, t-shirt, make it. When you wear that t-shirt, then we can forget about Golden Child. Okay. Oh, you're all fuzzy again. Explodey.
Oh, shit. I'm on. Well, fuck.
How's that? All I heard was shit, mm-hmm. fuck. Yeah.
Doesn't it just sound classier when she says it, though?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I know. I want an accent.
She can be saying, like, crumpets, scones. I love it.
Oh, fucking bollocks.
yeah, there we go.
Yay!
I liked that there was one towards the end where it's, like, it's in the shape of, like, a... looks like an opticus... What the... shit, I can't even say that. Octopus. Octopus, like, tentacle, and it, like, flattens a guy and, like, picks it up and he's stuck to the bottom of it.
Right! Yeah, right,
that
right,
was
right.
Really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
Oh, you have to edit all that slurring out. You know what? My icebreaker, if I'm starting to, like, get to know someone, is, okay, so what's your favourite Aliens movie?
Aliens.
Yeah. Well, if they say one or two, they're cool. If they say three, I'm like, interesting, tell me more. If they say four, I'm like, okay, goodbye. And if they say AVP, oof, yeah.
So what were the themes of this show?
Butt
hard
sex.
Fucking zombie rape of the ass.
Yeah.
Zombie rape, butt sex, hard fucking.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to give me a pat on the back? I went the whole episode without talking about my boobs.
Oh my god, yeah.
Every episode ever.
Now.
Yeah.
So it's not entirely your fault, though. You don't always bring them up. Usually other people bring them up. And Sarah, did you go and did you take my advice and look at Summer's boobs on the website?
Yes, I did.
And in your expert opinion?
I should be tipping.
Beautiful. I do love my boobs.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. You know, like, the media tells us to hate our bodies, to hate the way that we look. If you want to love your boobs... high five. High five. Does anybody else want to profess love for their boobs?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they're all right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's faint praise for the second viewers. America, fuck yeah.
Oh,